Our Bible study is called Knowing God's Will. Stated in another way, how to know God's will. In 2016, January, while I was down in Los Angeles for my theological studies, I met a friend of mine that I knew back from my home country and whom I hadn't seen for something like 26, 27 years. And that, of course, was totally providential. Of course, we were both glad to see each other again. And when I met him this time, he was saved and he had begun attending church. Then 6 months after that, in July of 2016, I had gone back for my studies. And during one of our meetings, he asked me this question. He said, how can I know what is God's will for a particular situation? What would you have said to my friend if you were in my place? Of course, my answer to him was basic, short. In a nutshell, I said, if you continually, as you consistently live for the Lord, you'll be led by Him in your daily decisions. You do your part, you do your due diligence, through prayerfully obeying what you know of the Word of God, and He will guide you, since your desire is to honor Him in everything. He found this answer to be biblically logical and faithful. And that's what we'll be looking at today in our Bible study. The main question that we have before us is this: how can a Christian know what is God's will in any given situation? And what I have before me is seven biblical principles that you and I can know that we are safely in God's will in any given situation through abiding by the following seven biblical principles. So without delay, we go to principle number one. So first principle is, in order for us to safely know we are in God's will for any given situation, we must seek the purposes of the Lord. We must seek the purposes of the Lord. In Matthew chapter 6, verses 31 to 34, the Lord Jesus said, do not worry then, saying, what will we eat? Or what will we drink? Or what will we wear for clothing? For the Gentiles eagerly seek all these things. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But this is where we come to the part where we focus on regarding seeking the purposes of the Lord. But seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things, whatever we need, will be added to you. So do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will care for itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. And then in John chapter 4, verse 34, Jesus said to them, my food is to do the will of Him who sent me and to accomplish His work. My food is to do the will of Him. That is, I'm here to do my Father's purposes. That's His food. That's what satisfies Him, nourishes Him, feeds Him to accomplish the Father's purposes, to seek and do the purposes of the Lord. In another way, in John 7, 17, He says, if anyone is willing to do His will, the Father's will, that is, His purposes, His desires, He will know of the teaching, whether it is of God or whether I speak for myself. Again, Jesus reminds us by saying that if we are desiring to do God's will, we will come to know what the Lord is teaching, what the Lord is saying, what He has for us to know and to abide by, to act upon, to obey. We must seek. We must seek the purposes of the Lord so that when our lives are characterized as such, then we will have that assurance that yes, whatever God's will is in any given situation, that we are properly in it, that we are not acting contrary to God's will. Otherwise, how would we be confident that we are living according to God, His commandments, His will? How are we going to know that we are living according to His will when we are not seeking His purpose and the doing of His purposes? That's why in 1 Corinthians 10:31, Paul reminds us, whether then you eat or drink, or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. When we seek the purposes of God, whatever we do will always be done, having in mind the purposes, the plans, the glory of God that we are desirous to accomplish, to obey. Number two, there's a second biblical principle which you and I can know. And when we know it, if we live accordingly, we can know that we are safely in God's will in any given situation as we abide by that principle, and it is this. So first, we ought to seek the purposes of the Lord to ensure that, yes, we are living in God's will. Secondly, we must prayerfully ask for wisdom from the Lord. Well, first of all, when we prayerfully ask for wisdom from the Lord, we are asking the Lord, Lord, what is your will? And second, we are asking the Lord, Lord, we want to know how to do your will. So prayerfully ask for wisdom from the Lord in order to know what is God's will for any given situation, and also in order to do what is God's will. James chapter 1, verses 5 to 7 says, "But if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him." So if we lack wisdom, even for a particular situation regarding God's will for our lives, in our lives, then ask for wisdom, ask for guidance from the Lord, so that you may get to know what is the Lord's will and how to act, how to behave accordingly, to know what to do. "If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all generously without reproach, and it will be given to him. But he must ask in faith without any doubting. For the one who doubts is like the surf of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For that man ought not to expect that he will receive anything from the Lord." If we go to the book of Psalms, and we're going to look at a number of scriptures, there are a number of prayers. The verses that I'm just going to be reading now to you, going through them, there are prayers for the Lord's guidance, the Lord's wisdom, so that the psalmist says, "Lord, I need to be guided by you. I seek your will. Help me, guide me, teach me, show me." All right? In Psalm 143, verse 10, he says, "Teach me to do your will. Teach me to do your will. Lord, I need the wisdom." Prayerfully seek. He's praying to the Lord in this song. He's praying to the Lord, "Lord, teach me to do your will. For you are my God. Let your good spirit lead me on level ground." Of course, the question is how? The question is how? The answer is, what better wisdom is there than God's word? That is, "Lord, teach me to do your will. First and foremost, let me know your word. Teach me your word so that I may come to know the things which are clearly revealed there. What am I supposed to do? How am I supposed to live?" You know, sometimes believers are caught in God's mysterious will, in his providential will, in his sovereign providential will. Some of the things we can never know. Only God knows, and he does not reveal it to us. He does not reveal everything, all his plans to us, all his will to us. So we ought to live by faith. But the things that we need to know, first and foremost, there are in the Word of God. So the more we know Scripture, the more we'll be inclined to properly live for God and wisely accomplish his purposes. In Psalm 119, number of verses from Psalm 119, verse 18, he prays to God. He says, "Open my eyes." Why? Why? "That I may behold," for the purposes of obedience. This is his purpose. For the purposes of obedience, he says, "Lord, open my eyes that I may behold wonderful things." From what? From nature? No, from your law. From your law. And then in verses 33 to 38 of Psalm 119, he says, "Teach me." All these are prayers. "Teach me, O Lord, the way of your statutes, and I shall observe it to the end. Give me understanding that I may observe your law and keep it with all my heart. Make me walk in the path of your commandments, for I delight in it. Incline my heart to your testimonies and not to dishonest gain. Turn away my eyes from looking at vanity and revive me in your ways. Establish your word to your servant as that which produces reverence, fear for you." You see, all these expressions, "teach me," verse 33. Give me understanding, verse 34. Make me walk, verse 35. Incline my heart, verse 36. Turn my eyes away from, verse 37. And establish your word, verse 38. All these have to do with the word of God. The psalmist is praying to God, Lord, give me the wisdom that comes from the word of God so that I may know how to live and accomplish your will. Otherwise, you know, sometimes we are caught in the mystery of God's will where we don't know. Some of the things are secret to the Lord. He knows them, but he guides us through his providential ways. And as we rely on him, trust in him, and as we pray for wisdom as such, he will guide us. He will lead us. He will do that for his glory and for our good. So we should prayerfully ask. This is the second biblical principle. We must prayerfully ask for wisdom from God, especially for the wisdom which comes through the word. This is how we come to find out best what is his will and how we may do it. Third, there's a third biblical principle. You and I can know we are safely in God's will in any given situation through abiding by this third principle as well. And all these principles together, they form a unity that we all need them to be there in our lives. You can't just say, well, I have principle number so and so, but the rest four or five, I don't. No, we got to have all of them in our lives so that we may experience the most benefit from knowing what is God's will, particular will for a particular situation. And so that when we take decisions accordingly, when we go to the left or to the right, that we may have that confidence that the sovereign Lord, through his providence, and because we've been living to our best ability by his grace, obediently, then he has led us in the direction he has sought to be the best for his glory and for our good. Third principle, third biblical principle, in order to know God's will, in order to know that, yes, this is God's will for me in this particular situation, we must delight ourselves in the Lord. Otherwise, we will not have the assurance that we are being directed and led by him. We will not feel safe. Delight yourself in the Lord. In Psalm 37, verses 4 and 5, it says this, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Because if you delight yourself in the Lord, you'll be seeking his purposes. You'll be asking for wisdom through prayer regularly to be guided according to his word. And as you delight yourself in the Lord, he will give you what you desire. Because then whatever you're desiring, it's not going to be selfish things. It's going to be things which please God and glorify him. That's why he will give. It's sure. And then it says, commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in him, and he will do it. He will do it. Whatever desires of your heart, if you commit yourself to him, if you trust him, we'll talk about trusting more later, he will do it. In Psalm 40, verse 8, it says, I delight to do your will, O my God. Your law is within my heart. That sense of delighting in God and in the law of God, in following God and obeying God's word, must be there for us. Otherwise, we will not be sure, we will not be certain as to how we are being led by the Lord. Again, in all this, there's always the need for faith and trust in the Lord. Yet at the same time, if we are delighting ourselves in him and committing our ways to him, he will guide us in sure steps. In Psalm chapter 1, verses 1 to 3, it says, how blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. You see, this guy delights in the Lord and in the law of the Lord. That's why the Lord guides him. That's why the Lord leads him. He will be like a tree firmly planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither, and in whatever he does, he prospers. You see, someone who seeks the Lord in this way, someone who seeks the Lord in this way, someone who delights in the Lord in this way, will have God's sure guidance in life. In Joshua 1:8, the word of God says, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that it is written in it. For then, only then, you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have success. We can safely say, even in discovering God's will for us, even in particular matters. So we must delight ourselves in the Lord. We must find our joys in Him. This is a third biblical principle. A fourth biblical principle. As we abide in that principle also, we come to know that we are safely in God's will in any given situation is living a holy lifestyle. Is living a holy lifestyle. This is needless to say that without holy living, it's the obvious one, but without holy living, and we must repeat this, without holy living, there's no guarantee for us that we are being guided in God's righteous, perfect, just, and sure ways. Romans 12, verses 1 and 2 says, "Therefore I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect." You see, without living a holy life, without being holy in our lifestyle, we can't be transformed. We can't be living in holy sacrifices acceptable to God. And we cannot come to prove what God's will is, that which is good, acceptable, and perfect. We must be holy before Him. Without living consistent holy lifestyles, there's no assurance that we will come to know that, yeah, this is what God's will is for this particular situation, and I believe this is how God is guiding me and leading me. And like I said earlier, all these seven biblical principles must be there together in our lives in some level or another, so that we may have that assurance that, yes, God is guiding us in His sovereign providential ways. 1 Thessalonians 4, notice what Paul writes, verses 1 to 8. Again, regarding the importance of living holy lifestyle in order to understand what is the will of God. "Finally then, brethren, we request and exhort you in the Lord Jesus that as you receive from us instruction as to how you ought to walk and please God, just as you actually do walk, that you excel still more." Do more, he says of that. "For you know what commandments we gave you by the authority of the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God." This is one of the revealed aspects of the will of God. This is revealed. This is not secret. "This is the will of God, your sanctification, that is, that you abstain from sexual immorality." So think about it this way. If we don't abstain, if we do not stay away from sexual immorality, if we don't do this aspect of God's will, then how are we supposed to know God's will in particular situations and of which we do not have maybe clear direction specified through the word, just like we have it here in 1 Thessalonians 4:3? He says, "For this is the will of God, your sanctification, that is, that you abstain from sexual immorality, that each of you know how to possess his own vessel in sanctification and honor. Not in lustful passion, like the Gentiles who do not know God, and that no man transgress and defraud his brother in this manner, in the matter, because the Lord is the avenger in all these things, just as we also told you before and solemnly warned you. For God has not called us for the purpose of impurity, but in sanctification. So he who rejects this is not rejecting man, but the God who gives his Holy Spirit to you." We must live a holy lifestyle. That's a fourth biblical principle. If we want to know by God's grace that we are being led properly in the Lord's will, so that we may have that assurance. Number five, a fifth biblical principle. You and I can know we are safely in God's will in any given situation through abiding by this principle also, and which is this. Carefully pay attention to the Spirit's guidance through your own unique circumstances. Carefully pay attention to the Spirit's guidance through your own unique circumstances. I know this may sound subjective, but if you seek to honor God in all your decisions, then move on with no worry. Take each step by faith, and He will lead you where He wants you to go. Here's an example, a biblical one. In Acts chapter 16, verses 6 to 10, it says this. "They passed through the Phrygian and Galatian region, having been forbidden, the apostles, having been forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia. And after they came to Mysia, they were trying to go into Bithynia. And again, the Spirit of Jesus did not permit them. How that happened, we don't know. Somehow they were forbidden. Twice. Not once, twice. The apostles were going that way to evangelize, to establish churches. The Spirit of God said no. Then the Holy Spirit of Jesus said that direction also no, because he had a purpose. And the apostles were submissive to this purpose. They carefully paid attention to the Spirit's guidance. A vision appeared to Paul in the night. And this was, of course, now a clear word from the Lord. A man of Macedonia was standing and appealing to him and saying, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." When he had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go into Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. It's time to go to Philippi. It's time to go to Macedonia. That was the idea. They paid attention to what God had to say to them. Of course, this is not a, you know, an audible voice that we are waiting. In Paul's case, it was a vision. Of course, he heard what God wanted him to hear. But in our case, we may not hear or see such visions. We may not hear God say audibly. He wouldn't do that. He will guide us clearly through his scriptures, and he will guide us through his providential ways as we pay attention to what he's trying to tell us, quote unquote, tell us. God will guide his people through their unique circumstances and situations. So we must carefully pay attention to his guidance. Principle number six, biblical principle number six, by which you and I can know that we are safely in God's will in any given situation as we abide by this principle also. And it is, we must heed wise counsel. Heed, listen to wise counsel, especially from godly people, especially from godly people. In Proverbs 11:14, it says, "Where there's no guidance, the people fall, but in abundance of counselors, there's victory." Counsel, wise counsel, godly counsel is important. In Proverbs 12:15, it says, "The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but a wise man is he who listens to counsel." And also in Proverbs 15:22, it says, "Without consultation, plans are frustrated, but with many counselors, they succeed." Implied, these are good and wise counselors, and they give wise counsel. And then Proverbs has much else to say regarding heeding wise counsel. Even in Proverbs chapter 2, Solomon does that when he says, as of verse 1, "My son, if you will receive my words and treasure my commandments within you, make your ear attentive to wisdom," wise counsel, "incline your heart to understanding. If you cry for discernment," you're seeking discernment, "lift your voice for understanding. If you seek her as silver and search for her as for hidden treasures, then you will discern the fear of the Lord and discover the knowledge of God." How are you going to discover the knowledge of God? How you will discern the fear of the Lord? How are you going to get to know God's specific purpose for a specific situation, his specific will for a specific given circumstance? That's one way, of course, as we seek godly wisdom, as we heed wise counsel, the Lord will work in our lives through it. And then, of course, Solomon has much more to say about how to listen to wisdom. Verse 10, "For wisdom will enter your heart." You know, if you seek it, if you heed it, "and knowledge will be pleasant to your soul, and it will protect you from the immoral woman, the strange woman," as he calls her in verse 16. So it is important to listen to wise counsel. And also, the Apostle Paul had words of wise counsel. He had words of wisdom to young Pastor Timothy. For example, in 2 Timothy 3, verse 1, he says this, "But realize this, that in the last days, difficult times will come." The last days referred to from the time the Lord Jesus basically went back to heaven until the Lord comes again. "But realize this, in the last days, difficult times will come. For men will be lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, revilers, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, unloving, irreconcilable, malicious gossips, without self-control, brutal, haters of good, treacherous, reckless, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, holding to a form of godliness. There are many like this. On the outside, they have the appearance of godliness, pretty much like the Pharisees. Holding to a form of godliness, although they have denied its power. And the apostle says to his protege, Timothy, avoid such men as these. Avoid them. Avoid them. You can't have fellowship with people like this. And then in verse 10, he says, now you followed my teaching. He's giving him wise counsel that Timothy must heed. Now you followed my teaching, conduct, purpose, faith, patience, love, perseverance, persecutions, and sufferings. And then he says, indeed, verse 12, all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will be persecuted, but evil men and imposters will proceed from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. And then he writes the following as he gives his advice, as he continues to do so. You, however, continue in the things you have learned and become convinced of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you've known the sacred writings which are able to give you the wisdom that leads to salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Of course, that wisdom through the scriptures will lead him all the way to ultimate salvation. That is, all the way to the time when Timothy will complete his course on earth and will reach glory by God's grace. All the scriptures are able to give you the wisdom that you need. Heed the counsel of the word of God. Paul is telling to Pastor Timothy. And then he says, all scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, reproof, correction, for training in righteousness. Why? So that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. We must heed wise counsel, especially from godly people. Whether it is Solomon, whether it is Paul, whether it is Jesus, they're all the ones that we read are from the inspired word of God. And of course, it does not mean we can't listen to the wise counsel of godly or even, you know, people who may not be saved yet. Parents, they have wise counsel. Also, we must listen to them when their wise counsel is not against the word of God and they are meaning well to guide our steps in righteousness, in purity, in sound biblical morality. We must heed wise counsel, especially from godly people. When they guide you through the counsel of the scriptures, especially then, we must listen well. And number seven, there's a last biblical principle that if we abide by this principle, live accordingly, then we may know that we are safely in God's will in any given situation, even though we may not know the details of as to how God's will for that particular situation will be unfolding. It doesn't matter. But we will know we are in God's will in that particular situation, and we trust Him as He continues on to lead us. And that's exactly what we have here. Trust in the Lord in everything and for everything. Trust in the Lord in everything. That's biblical principle number seven. Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. Acknowledge Him. And He will make your paths straight. You see that? He will guide you. If you trust in Him with all your heart, if you do not lean on your own understanding, in all your ways, acknowledge Him. He's God. He's your Lord. Seek His will, His purposes, and He will make your path straight. He will guide you. Psalm 37, 5 says, commit your way to the Lord, trust also in Him, and He will do it. He will do it. Trust in the Lord in everything, so that you will have the assurance that in whichever situation you are in right now, that God is accomplishing His purposes, His will in your life, even in or through that particular situation. Therefore, how can a Christian know what is God's will in any given situation? You and I can know we are safely in God's will in any given situation through abiding by the following seven biblical principles. Number one, seek the purposes of the Lord. Number two, prayerfully ask for wisdom from the Lord in order to know what is and how to do His will. Number three, delight yourself in the Lord. Number four, live a holy lifestyle. Number five, carefully pay attention to the Spirit's guidance through your unique circumstances. Number six, heed wise counsel, especially from godly people. And number seven, trust in the Lord in everything. Trust in the Lord in everything. One more thought as we conclude. In 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 to 17, the Apostle John reminds us, do not love the world nor the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the boastful pride of life is not from the Father, but is from the world. The world is passing away, and also its lusts, but the one who does the will of God lives forever. So, do you want to live forever? The simple answer is, do the will of God. It begins with salvation. As you are saved, you're accomplishing God's will. And then, as you are growing in holiness, you are being sanctified, you're accomplishing God's will, which is revealed in the Word of God. By focusing on God, by not loving the world, which is passing away, but by doing the will of God, that is living according to the will of God, as clearly revealed in Scripture, then every one of us, as His people, will live forever by His grace. So, if we are living according to the will of God, according to the will of God, which we know of through the Scriptures, we are doing well. And for all these other instances, which we do not have, maybe a clear direction through Scripture, trust God, seek His purposes, live an obedient, holy life before Him, prayerfully ask for wisdom and guidance in these situations, and heed wise counsel, especially from God's people, from God's Word. Carefully pay attention to His guidance through the unique circumstances you're going through, and also delight yourself in the Lord. Be rejoicing in Him. Seek your joy from Him as you live for Him. And then you will have that assurance that yes, in the matters that you're not clearly in the know as to which way God wants you to turn, so to speak, He will continue to guide you. You will have that sense of assurance and contentment that He is leading and guiding you as you continue to live before Him. May God bless us all as we live according to these biblical principles for His sake. In Jesus' name, amen.